the fish talking.
All right, this is Asinine Radio. This is the weekly music podcast where every week we get into a different band, different artist. When we break down one of their records, we get into the music, the lyrics, how it was made, the artwork, and everything in between. My name is Tyler, and way out there, hundreds of miles away, is Jeff. While you're listening, go to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, give us 5 stars, to all your friends. And if you notice, Jeff is wearing a hat this week, and it's pretty ridiculous. It's pretty stupid. What is this? Is this a fish?
I don't think it's stupid, but it's kinda, this is a fish hat. It's a trout hat. It's Mike Trout hat.
Mike Trout. From what? Who's Mike Trout?
From the 2002 World Champion Anaheim Angels. Mm. Got him. Okay. I just thought, like, I don't know. It's really fucking boring just watching boring dudes just sit around and talk about boring topics. The least I could do is not put a boring face on. If I had masks, I'd wear a mask, but I don't have any masks. No, do face paint. I can do face paint.
Do face paint. Do like Robert De Niro or something, you know?
Yeah, I can do face paint.
You should do that. You should definitely do that.
I have an assortment of hats. Probably do glasses. I can do glasses.
Yeah, you could do glasses. You could do glasses.
It's just, I don't know. I find it boring.
Okay. Fair. It's fair. All right. Well, we're doing Jimmy Eat World. We're doing Bleed American today. This is their fourth record, and, fourth record from 2001. And let's jump right into this. Let's get into our origin story with Jimmy Eat World, and then we'll do our first impressions of the record and then start breaking down the songs by bangers.
Oh.
So what do you got this week, Jeff? What's your origin story? Go.
Maybe you should do your origin story first, because it sounds like somebody's home and the dogs are barking. Well, I might just mute the mic for like 30 seconds.
I'll just wait.
Okay, we can just wait.
Because we always
hear him yet or no?
I can hear him. Yeah,
you can hear him now.
Yeah, I can hear him right now. I heard him.
Good, 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 good.
Like they're
all right.
So, what's your origin story with Jimmy Eat World? Go. What do you got?
Probably a big surprise to everybody else, but
it's camp. It's always camp.
It's camp, right? It's always camp. It's always what do they call it? What did a friend of the pod David call it? Band camp.
Yeah. Yeah.
Never went to band camp. So it was a young men's Christian association camp. That's what I went to.
Okay.
And we did a lot of praying too. We did.
Well, it's a Christian camp. What do you expect?
Lots and lots of praying, but it was a loose Christian camp. It wasn't just for Christians.
Okay.
There are heathens there. So whatever. But anyway, it was camp. Honestly, it was Lucky Denver Mint. That's the very first song that I ever really remember hearing Jimmy Eat World's plays,
mm-hmm.
And that was like, dude, that was like 10. Like that was when the clarity, we're like 10?
99? 12. We're born in 87.
Oh yeah, that's right.
So we would have been 12.
That's right. So we're 12 years old.
Not sorry, dude.
Yeah, it was when we were 12. Well, it's different. It's a different metric here than the rest of the world. We use a different metric of counting here in America, so that's why I get confused sometimes. Yes. Correct. Yeah, it was definitely Lucky Denver Mint, and then people just playing the guitar, and again, just another like foundational song that wanted me to inspire me to play guitar. I was like, dude, I want to fucking do that. And it was really the harms that these guys did around the campfire while playing these Jew songs. Especially from Clarity, was that really got me.
Is that what we're doing? We're calling it, we're shortening Jimmy Eat World to Jew. I mean, what else are we going to call it? I mean, that's the easiest. I don't know. It just sounds so weird.
It does sound weird. And it's kind of, I mean.
We just call it.
Somebody will like rip this and then take us out of context and then post like one snippet, and then our life will be ruined because nobody
podcast
will ever,
is
like,
over.
Understand.
Sorry, boys.
Yeah. But yeah, so Lucky Denver Mint, camp, 99. We were 10. How did you say?
12.
They said,
12. Once again.
Like 87, 97 plus 2. Like 97 mm-hmm. plus 2. That's what I should have said.
Wait, 97 plus
2. 10 plus 2. Yeah. Because we're born in 87.
No, I know.
So 97 is 10 plus 2.
No, I know. I know what you're doing, but it just still sounds kind of stupid. Okay. Anyway.
Listening's hard. Pod listening's hard.
Potting is hard.
That's what it was.
All right, so that's your origin story. Mine is the middle. The middle, that video came out, and I remember hanging out with my old friend Sean, and it was on MTV. We recorded the video, and it was just like a bunch of girls in their underwear. That's what it was. And
you know, girls and boys. Just
girls and boys, but I mean,
it was a party.
It was a party. Yeah, it was a party. It was an underwear party, a panty party, some might say.
A little pee-pee? Sure.
A little pee-pee. Yes, a little pee-pee. God damn, this is already gone
none of
off
these
the rails.
Jokes are like now appropriate. No. When you see our faces, it's just not okay.
This has already gone off the rails, man. This is video potting is hard. It's new. So yeah, that's my origin story, watching that video and that song, being obsessed with that song. The middle, just absolutely obsessed with it. I never bought this on CD. I only ever had a burn copy. Yeah, whatever. You know, burn copy. That's what all the kids were doing at the time. Burn Thief. Copies of it. And but yeah, no, I just listened to this album just all the fucking time. And then Clarity. I didn't get into Clarity until like deep into high school. So maybe like late high school I got into Clarity, but I was always all about Bleed American. That was my number one thing. And that also my origin story. So there you go. So let's get into the album, Bleed American, and initial thoughts on it, and then go over bangers. I doubt we have stinkers, right? I have no stinkers.
No.
Yeah. So how many bangers do you have?
They're all bangers. Every single song on this album is a banger.
Exactly.
11 bangers.
11 bangers. 11 bangers on a Bleed American. So fuck it. Who cares about origins? Who cares about first initial thoughts? Let's just get into the bangers. Do you want to go backwards? Do you want to go forward? What do you think?
I don't know. I feel like if we go backwards and we talk about, because some of like the later songs are like the lower bangers for me, but I do have a lot of notes on them. Mm-hmm. So if we go backwards and like by the time we get to like the middle, right? Like are we an hour and a half deep and like we kind of like cut the middle short? Maybe we should go forward this time.
The middle of the song or the middle of the rankings?
The middle of the song.
Oh, okay. Well, okay.
That's my 1B.
No, it's not. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
It is not.
No, not at all. Of course,
you're crazy.
The best fucking song
on
the record.
Serious?
No, I'm not. I know you're Bleed American is probably your favorite folk song, but no, the middle is arguably Jimmy Reel's objectively best song. It is unreal. Unfucking real.
Only because it's the most popular.
That is exactly the reason why I chose it correct.
So the middle is my 10B.
That's stupid. Yeah, okay. Oh my God.
Let me say this about this record.
Nothing you could say would even just remotely be like
these
intelligent.
These songs have to be put somewhere. They're all beyond bangers. All of these songs are beyond bangers, but they have to be put somewhere. And I guess we're getting into the middle.
What song is not better than the middle? Like what? It better be fucking Sweetness.
It's My Sundown is my least favorite.
That's stupid.
But anyway,
that's stupid.
The middle. Let's get into this. Where was I at? Yeah, it's just
You are not a Clarity fan if you fucking think My Sundown is the worst song on the record. That's just.
But it's still a 3 out of 3 banger.
That's straight up.
That's a hint on the album. But yeah, the middle. It's just a really overplayed song. You know, you go to a bar. There's a cover band playing. They're going to play the middle probably twice.
Fuck yes. And I'll fucking sing it twice and I'll be happy to do it twice. I'll air guitar. Ask him to play it and I'll have to play it a third time.
I'll air guitar the guitar solo and I'll air drum the entire time. So I do love this song. Is so much fun to play on the drums.
You're so silly. You're such a silly boy. This is not, no, this is, I would have given you 2 or 3. I would have given you those.
But it's 10.
But 10? It's 10. No, that's stupid. You're just being dumb. You're being dumb for the purpose of being dumb, and that's fine.
Oh, you heard the door, yeah.
So that's just silly.
Yeah, there you go.
I hear all.
You hear all. Yeah, these mics pick up everything now. So, yeah, and just, wow. You know, working in offices over the last several years and having the radio on all the time, this song is played on the radio all the fucking time. And it's annoying. Well, it's not annoying, but it's definitely overplayed, but otherwise it is a great song. I mean, just it's kind of a punk song. The guitar solo is wild because this is like the only time they've ever done a guitar solo, and it's a great solo too. Absolutely great solo. And Zach rips it up on the drums. Some incredibly memorable fills and moments that he has on this song. And the chorus is, the whole song is just catchy as hell. You know, the melody and the melodies and everything. It's fantastic. So what
it
do you
starts
got?
Off so amazing, dude. Like the really cool use of two guitars in the intro, yeah. Right? Separate them in the stereo. It's so fun. You get one just clean, hit that so little riff. Well. And the other one's so like aggressively crunchy. Like, and that's really all you hear is the coconut part right there. That's all you really hear. Then you put them together, right? When it comes in, blends into like a really nice little rock and roll thing here. And like that, come on, dude, the drum part in the chorus.
Yeah.
That little roll to the quick stop. Like that's silly boy talk. This is fun pop pun drumming right here.
It is.
It's easy. It's not Travis all fucking, you know, freestyling and flair and glitz and glamour. It's just good pop punk drumming.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's another thing about this record and Clarity is the way that the two guitars they play against each other. The high and the low of the guitars, the distorted and the clean guitar and when they play with the stereo on it, it's fantastic. It really is. And this is a perfect one of the good examples of that. Absolute banger of a song.
Maybe truly, because I don't remember a time when I worked at a place that just played like, what are you in a fucking haunted house over here?
He said, what are we in a haunted house over here?
Fucking like Vincent Price coming in? What is happening?
What were we talking about?
Are you barfing?
What were we talking about?
I don't know. We're finishing up the middle because you don't like the song reason.
I do like it.
I was saying that I have not worked in like a capacity where we just played like contemporary hits, right? Mm-hmm. Like the greatest hits of any genre. I've not worked since something like that for
ever.
I don't think ever. Yeah.
Never. You've never worked in an office job.
Like, I don't think I've ever worked in a spot where, like, oh, just put on like a fucking K Rock, just put on like 95.5, or just put on like adult contemporary. Oh, just put on, you know, like it's always just been, what do you want to listen to tonight? Oh, put on fucking 90s playlists, specifically grunge or specifically alternative. Always been something like that. So maybe I'm definitely not tired of the middle. I'll tell you that much right now.
Well, I'm not tired of it. It's just in the context of the record. No, in the context of the record, there are just better songs. That's what it comes down to. There are better songs, man.
But there are not. This is the most cookie cutter of the songs on this record.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
But like, my God, this is what all other like pop punk cookie cutter songs should sound like. It's this fucking good. It is perfect in every single way. Everything about this is absolutely perfect.
Yeah, it really is. It is perfect. It is perfect. So what do you have lyrically on this one?
Okay.
I do like his lyrics a lot on this entire record.
I do too. A lot of posy stuff, right? This is pretty posy vibes going on here. And it's written, I don't know, kind of in between limbo, between albums, and even though Jim's kind of like, oh, well, that's not what, like, I don't know, bro. Like, you're kind of a whiner, but he's kind of a whiner.
Totally.
He's not kind of a whiner. He is a whiner.
Still is.
But this is just a song. Yeah, dude. God, the guy's a fucking whiner.
Yeah.
It's a song to keep your chin up. Keep your chin up. Have posy vibes. You know, what? Supposedly inspired by an early fan writing an email saying that she didn't fit in with anyone at school. But yeah.
Bleed American?
Just take.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh my God. What? I'm so stupid. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, so the middle's near 10B.
No,
I mean, the Bleed American's near 10B.
No, it's not. No, it's not. I don't know why my notes. Sorry. Continue. Sorry. My mind
has to be your number one. Bleed one, yeah, that one has to be your number one.
No, it's not my number one. No.
I know it is, because you're fucking basic. You're basic BZ. Oh, you're simp. Yeah, the middle. Posy vibes, bro. Posy vibes.
Yeah, it is. That's exactly what it was. It was also inspired by them getting dropped by Capitol Records because, you know, Static Prevails didn't go anywhere. Clarity was a flop. But also it's like, so Capitol didn't like how Clarity turned out, but then they also had no, and they never like went to the studio. They never really asked the band, oh, what are you working on? What's going on? So they were never reviewing anything. What are you doing?
These are the things I do when you just talk.
Oh my God.
Very difficult.
Like sucking that cup. But yeah, it just that, so it was inspired by the fan who was, you know, kind of an outcast and felt ostracized from her peers, and then also them feeling the same way about their record label. So yeah, that's what it is lyrically. And honestly, the lyrics on the whole record are great. I like all of his lyrics.
Great. They're lyricist. Cool. They're, yeah. they're sometimes like a little ambiguous, but they're not to the point where it's like kind of like Ben Gibbardy, and it's like, I don't know the fuck you're talking about, bro.
Yeah.
Because true. They're kind of just for like everybody. They're lyrics for everybody.
But he has
a song for everybody.
He has a good way of like stringing words along, and the way he sings the lyrics too, they're not very straightforward. Like when we were doing Dashboard, the way that Chris sings his lyrics, he doesn't sing it like line by line. Like the way he breaks up each line is very interesting. And that's exactly what Jim does too. So
do you want to get into the Capitol thing real quick? Because you already mentioned it. Because yeah. It's kind of an interesting story.
Yeah, since you already brought it up.
The Capitol Records thing. They didn't like, it wasn't that Clarity flopped. It was more that just nobody knew what the fuck was going on. Capitol Records, they changed CEOs like midway through. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't so much that Capitol hated you and Clarity. It was more that they were restructuring and they forgot about them. Mm-hmm. And so, which is kind of cool because that allowed you to have full control over the sound of Clarity and the direction of Clarity, because otherwise, you know, there'd be people like knocking on the door, like, what's going on? Let's hear it. So because there was restructuring and because the Jimmy worlds were just forgotten about, they had full creative control over the record and what happened on there and where they went and song length. Like there's no fucking way the execs from Capitol Records would have allowed Sky Harbor to be 15 minutes fucking 15 long.
Minutes.
There's no way. No way.
Yeah.
They've been, you know what? Uh-uh. Cut it. Cut it.
Style.
No fucking way. Because there really isn't like a, there isn't like a radio friendly single on Clarity. Blister would be like the closest thing you have to kind of like rock song.
I mean, Lucky Denver Men is pretty rock friendly.
But that song is just so like mid, and that song is not about like the melody. That one strictly is about like the guitar work and what is happening and the chords they're using and that kind of thing. But Clarity is just, there's something different. But yeah, so Capitol Records, that one was happening. And so the in between time, obviously they're going to get dropped because like Clarity, yeah, come on, the fuck did you get? We left you alone. This would happen. You leave a kid alone and you come back and it's a fucking mess. Like that's what happened. Like, fuck that. You're gone. Yeah. Goodbye. And they didn't have a record label. They didn't have anybody. And they even like still toured and they still like on their own dime, they got other jobs to help support themselves. And I didn't really know that they were pretty much like bankrupt. They were close to like just being completely out of money entirely. Mm-hmm. And they recorded some songs and it got play on like K-Rock, and K-Rock kind of like hooked them up and helped them out. And, you know, it got a little bit of traction, and then like a bidding war started, and then they went out with DreamWorks, almost Capitol almost got them back though. Mm-hmm. And they were like, you know, dude, like you give us our masters for like all the stuff that we did prior to this, we'll talk to you. Capitol's like, nah, we're good. We'll keep those.
Mm-hmm.
We'll keep them. What was that? That sounded like a monster, dude. Oh.
So what song do you want to talk about next? Or where were we at?
We finished the middle.
That we did.
Let's do your 1B. Let's do your 1B.
Praise Chorus. Come on. Praise Chorus is the best song.
That's wrong.
So what do you hate about this song? Why do you hate it so much?
Praise Chorus is my 11B.
No, it's not. Shut the fuck up.
Nah, it's not. It's my 6B.
Well, why though? Why? Why is it so low?
I guess it's harder to say like why it's so low because there are five other songs I think are better. I grant it, like one song, like Get It Faster. Mm-hmm. That one is just purely just like nostalgia, like purely just.
Yeah, there's a lot of nostalgia.
Subjective,
there.
Silly boy talk. Like, Get It Faster. That's better than a Praise Chorus. Bleed American, the opener, is better than a Praise Chorus. Hear You Me is better than a Praise Chorus. So, I don't know. I don't want to say, like, why this is not the best. I just want to talk about why it's so good. It's fantastic. That little four count in, right?
Yeah.
Like,
And then just the note, just hitting just the downstrokes on that one note right there. It's so good. And then Jim comes in.
Channel separation, right?
Yeah.
Channel separation.
Yeah. Channel separation, dude.
Channel separation. That's called channel separation, dude.
Well, that is, dude. But yeah, and then Jim comes in. Just that the verses too are just extremely catchy. But then you drop into that chorus where Zach really he doesn't church it up, but just his beat is so almost jarring. It's just him hitting the toms, hitting the toms twice, and then the snare. It just adds so much, you know, flavor, or, you know, what am I trying to say?
There's a lot of flavor in this one, though.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
There's a lot of flavor here because this one has like a lot of really really low end chords and notes, but like overall is a more happy kind of upbeat song. Like that's a cool contrast, especially in the chorus. The chorus is super fucking chuggy.
I'm on like my
a lot of judges.
And how happy the melody is when he sings that chorus too. And the lyrics too, you know, I'm on my feet, I'm on the floor, I'm good to go. Now all I need to is just to hear a song. Wait, what did he say?
Now all I need is just to hear a song I know. Wanna always feel like part of this. And then we go, like everything kind of slows down a little bit. Dude, the best part is the transition from that chorus to the bridge.
Yeah.
And then it just goes like, and then go, and then before it goes in the bridge, they get all those chicken from every dude. Everyone's chicken-chicking and everybody.
Yeah, you're right.
And then just like a cool fucking hodgepodge of just inspirations, fucking loves and interests, and like all the things that made Jimmy Eat World's leading up to like their first record. Mm-hmm. All of their inspiration is right here in the bridge. Everything's packed in a little tight part right here. It's so fucking catchy. It's so goddamn good.
It is that bridge, man. The crimson bonkers. And clovers.
Absolutely over bonkers.
And over. And then when the second vocal track drops in, you know, our house in the middle of the street. Oh man.
And clover.
The layering of those two vocals, it's incredible. But I think from what it's always sounded like to me, it's both vocal tracks are Jim. I don't think Tom does the other vocal track, right?
They both sound like Jim. There's one part too where like it's supposed to be this other person, Davey guy from fucking I can't forget
Davey Havoc. Not Davey Havoc.
Yeah, Davey Havoc. No, the Promise Ring.
Yeah.
One of the guys from the Promise Ring. Why didn't we ever meet? That was supposed to be him, but I mean, it all sounds like Jim.
Yeah, it does. You really can't differentiate. But man, this is just
this part is fucking absolute. It's absolutely bonkers, and it comes out of nowhere.
There's no reason for it.
There really is no reason for it. You're right. What is happening here? Like, how do we transition from a cool song, like a really good song already,
mm-hmm.
to like an untouchable bridge?
I know. And the Crimson and Clover was inspired by the Joan Jett song, or it wasn't her song, but it was a song she did in 1982. And then the Our House was, who did Our House?
Tommy James and the Shondells. That's the original Crimson and Clover.
Oh, Crimson. Okay. Yeah. Song. That was like back in the 50s or 60s or something.
Yeah. 60s. Yeah.
And then she.
And then Madness. Our House in the Middle of
the Street. Is that the
name of
the band,
street.
Really?
Our House. Yeah. Madness.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I've been to the pod before. Their first record's fucking fantastic. The only T-Tone record they should ever listen to. Everything else is garbage.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, the Praise Chorus, that's my number one. I can't believe it's your 6B. I mean, just that bridge alone should put it at number one. That's crazy.
The bridge alone made it 6B. But, like, dude, no, come on, bro. Like, there's so many other songs here that just either just hold a place in my heart that just can't be, like, chiseled away.
Yeah.
Or I do think are better. Like, I do think The Middle is just a better song overall. Mm. I do think Bleed American is just a better song overall.
Mm. Okay. All right.
That song is so fucking good, though, because, like, lyrically, dude, this is fucking, like, really, really cool. It's such a simple song. It shows, like, their inspiration as musicians, also, like, making their experiences extremely relatable, right? Like, we go watch live music because we want to feel like we're a part of the show. Mm-hmm. When I feel like part of this was mine.
Wanna like we go fall see live music tonight. And I like that, even just that one lyric, right? That one line right there could talk about a girl. It could talk about, you know, the music that you're listening to, the experience you're having. It's
so cheesy. It's so universally cheesy. Everyone just fucking, you can attach yourself to it in any way.
I know.
But I love, and we talked about it like the other day too, like at the record store, because a lot of people were, Herbie Hancock just played a show locally out here like a week ago, 2 weeks ago, I think. And everyone's kind of like, yeah, dude, all he did fucking did, he played all the songs nobody wanted to hear, like the big song, like Watermelon Man, all the songs people wanted to hear, he didn't play, fucking talked about politics for like 25 minutes of the set. And it was just garbage. It was like, what the fuck? This is tiring. This is stupid. And I was like, you know what? When you watch people that are just not inspired anymore, just like rehashing and regurgitating old greatest hits, mm-hmm. it becomes like you're watching a movie. And when you're watching a movie, you don't feel like you're a part of the movie. You're watching a film. But the beauty of like live music is you feel like you're a part of the show. You feel like they're singing to you and like you are a part of it. And if you weren't there, the show would lose value. And that's just what it feels like going to a live show where there's passion. Mm-hmm. And that praise chorus, like to me, that's what, I mean, that's just, I don't know. That's what they're getting at here.
Yeah. And it's also
be a part of it.
It's also like adolescence. Like it makes you feel like you're a teenager again, where everything is exciting. Everything's new and fun. And everything's so carefree. It's exciting. It's exciting. And speaking of lackluster performances, what you just said reminded me of the whole Bruno Mars thing. Have you read anything about that?
No.
In Vegas. So he has a, Bruno Mars has a residency in Vegas. And the reason is because he owes so much money to MGM Casino because he's like a huge gambler and he has so much, he has like hundreds of millions of dollars in debt to MGM. So they're essentially holding him hostage and forcing him to have a residency at the MGM. And people are talking about, like, if you watch his performances, they're like, yeah, they're good. But it looks like he's completely checked out. And you do watch the videos, and he has, like, dead eyes. Like, he just is not – he's just going through the motion. And
so good.
Yeah, he's essentially being held hostage. And people are comparing it to, like, when Elvis was – you know, had his residency in the 70s, how, you know, it was for – maybe not the same reasons, but it was a similar situation. But, yeah,
I mean,
it's weird.
Like, held that's hostage. A tangent. To what capacity, right? Held hostage, like
mafia, dude.
Bro, if the mob ran Vegas, then he'd be up there dancing with no fingers and shit. You know what I mean? Like that'd be a different story. He's not being held hostage. He's just like, pay your fucking bills, bro.
Yeah.
Like I wish I had a gambling problem. I wish I had a gambling problem that allowed me to gamble $100 million. Like, fuck off.
All right, let's move on. Let's move on. We got a lot of songs left. So what's your Tubi then? We've done the middle and we've done praise chorus.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So yeah, my Tubi, I said it earlier, is Get It Faster. I know it's like objectively not a great song for the record. It's mm-hmm. not anything special. It's just, dude, come on, get it faster. This is our song. This is our fucking song.
Yeah, I know.
We got at one point we had a solid handle on this.
We did.
Even like acoustically, we played the whole thing through and through, and it was fun. And I still love doing
the high and low. Yeah.
Like I still know how to do all those parts. I still know the sequencing. I still know the pauses. I know everything about it. But the song is pretty mid tier, like objectively. But I don't give a fuck. I love the song.
Yeah, I mean that the main chord progression is just, it's so basic, it's so simple, it's really slow, so it's very easy to play. There's four notes, drop D, and but yeah, that bridge, the bridge is what takes it to the next level. Just the back and forth, the high and the low, the back and forth guitar of the high and the low. It's weird timing, especially toward the end of that bridge, but it's yeah, man, when you nail it, it's fucking incredible. So
I think it's the most like crunchy heavy they've ever like dual guitar. This is like Iron Maiden style, like dueling guitars. This is like the most aggressive they've ever dueled before.
Yeah.
Right.
I would say that
they've never done anything like this.
Nothing like this, but I wouldn't really compare it to Iron Maiden. It's nothing you know, when it comes to complexity, it's nothing close to Iron Maiden. But I guess the idea
is Iron Maiden were very complicated either. And curious about most of the songs, but that's fine.
Wait, hold on. Fucking hell. Hold on.
Oh, dude, someone's getting, some dude, dog's getting their ass whooped on. Right now. Is the dog?
with Get It Faster?
Genie gets it faster. Oh,
and that's another thing too. That's another thing too. It's the O's in the song that make it. It's really obnoxious.
They're bad. They're not good. They're bad. But like, damn, it's because it's so catchy. Because it's Jimmy Eat World, Jimmy mm-hmm. Eats Worlds. Because all of that, and it's, you know, nostalgic and it's fun and it is a good song. And it's, but man, those O's are gross. They're not good. Oh. What is it? What are you doing, dude?
I do remember when we were in theater together with a friend of the pod, Wes. And I don't think he had ever heard the song before, but then you and I, being dumb kids that we were, we would just do that constantly. That's how we knew the song, was because of us singing the O's.
It's a good song.
It's a great song. It's a ton of fun to sing. But even when you're a bad singer like us, it's a ton of fun to sing.
What B was this for you?
That's my 7B. It's my 7B.
So you're just...
Like I said, these songs can... The thing about this record is that the songs can move around so much, banger-wise. Because they're all absolute fucking bangers. Except for My Sundown. That's going to be probably near the bottom almost all the time. But yeah, Get It Faster is a solid fucking banger. So what do you have lyrically on this one?
I mean, like...
I heard that burp come up.
Dude, because you play... You know. The fastest way to end a relationship is cheating, right? Is that what's going mm-hmm. on here?
Like, yeah.
That's what's happening. So
he's in a bad relationship and she won't break it off and he can't leave her. So he decides, oh, maybe I'll just cheat. And that's it.
Oh, maybe I'll just fucking cheat. Just,
what are you doing?
Just taking notes.
I don't know about what, but okay, that's fine. God damn. So that was your 2B because you're crazy and weird like that. Let's get into my 2B, which I know you really want to talk about, and that is Hear You Me.
That's your 2B?
That's my 2B. This week, it is my 2B.
What?
This week is my 2B, yes.
Color me fucking surprised.
Oh, man. So why do you hate the song? I really don't get why you hate it.
That's crazy. I would never have pegged like this being your 2B. I don't know.
But why?
Because it's not like your type of song. This is not like a there's no new metal here, there's no punk thing going on here. There's no like normal things that you just check the boxes for, like none of those are here. So
so obnoxious.
That's crazy. It's crazy.
But I also, you know, Clarity is just a very overall it's a very soft record, and this is in the same vein as Clarity. It really, that whole record, it's a quieter song. It's slower. It's more just ethereal, not ethereal. It's just, there's a lot of, it's just a melancholy song.
It's ethereal. Yeah,
okay. All right.
You know, what's funny is in high school when we were doing, remember like Worldly Wise and like we had like word, like new God, word, yes. vocab words every week
vocab
that
words,
we were supposed to like memorize. Mm-hmm. Remember Alex Hodges?
Hodges.
I'll try and put this delicately.
Okay.
He said when ethereal was a word that came up, he said that like, and this I will all remember this because it was funny at the time. But he said he remembers the word ethereal because it sounds like somebody who has trouble saying things, trying to say like eat cereal, like ethereal.
Oh my God.
And that's what he said. And I just thought that was so fucking funny at the time. And so now and Alex Hodges was such a weird looking dude and kind of an asshole too, but it always brings you back. So ethereal, that's what I'm thinking about.
That's something.
You're fucked up for laughing.
I'm just laughing at that you would even tell that story. I just, that's something.
That's a story, dude.
That is a story, dude. But yeah, Hear You Me right now. Yeah, it's just a beautiful sounding song too. I don't even want to say it doesn't get like super Christian or anything like that, but you know, the May Angels lead you in. It's kind of Christian, but it works. It sounds good. Jim does a good job of expressing his feelings and his sadness toward the two girls that the song is about. But yeah, just it just and the song never picks up, and that's totally fine. The verses start off heavy and heavy in the sense that it's just really, really sad. And it's just fantastic.
I mean, like, so he was raised like heavily Mormon. Like, he was in a very heavy Mormon like upbringing, from what I've read and stuff. Yeah. So like, there is like, no matter what, and like, I was raised Catholic, and people are raised in different ways, and so no matter what, like, sometimes when you write music, that upbringing kind of like bleeds into it, regardless if you're still that religion or even follow it still to this day, it's still gonna like seep into your writing, into your subconscious. And it definitely seeps in here, but the song is so fucking sad, and the song is so, man, this song fucks you up, dude. Yeah. And it's good. Like, you basically follow this like this it's DABG chord progression, but like, he modulates each chord to leave a lot of open strings, which give like it that ethereal sound. You'll never hear ethereal the same way again.
No, I will not. I will not.
But then, like, he ends on the D, and the D is just like a normal, like, major, like, easy going, and it, like, it's the root. It plants his back on the ground, and then, you know, we get to add the guitar in the background, like those little single notes, and it's just like, damn, man, we are layering this song to really just fuck you up. And if you took the vocals out entirely, this song would still be kind of fucked up and sad.
Oh yeah, definitely, definitely.
But really, this song builds nicely to the Jim Whale, and Jim's Whale is just, it's damn near untouchable. It's untouchable.
Wait, which whale, here? When he says, "May angels bring you in."
Yeah.
Okay.
My angel.
Oh yeah, he does sing it like that. Thing. Yeah. Yeah, it's very.
And then he goes, "On sleep, red rose," like that part too. Like, oh, dude,
it's great.
It gets me.
You also have the background vocals on this one too. Of what's her name? Hayden, what's her name?
Mm-hmm,
yeah,
mm-hmm,
she was in the Rentals at the very beginning of their career as well. So she has
that dog.
What's that dog?
With Maya Rudolph.
Well, I don't know what that is.
You know who Maya Rudolph is?
I know who Maya Rudolph is, but I don't know what that dog is.
It's just like a stupid like kind of Rentals kind of esque band that was formed in the same era, and Maya Rudolph played drums for the fucking band.
Oh, okay. I had no idea.
Kind of cool. But yeah, Rachel Hayden also, like, her and her sister, Rachel and Petra. Petra is in a lot of Weezer songs. She does, like, a lot of the vocals for, like, the B-sides of, like, Blue Era, of Pinkerton Era. So, like, all the female vocalists you hear is usually one of the Hayden sisters.
Yeah, and the one song that she did was on the Tales from the Black Hole. What was that one that we did? We talked about it on the podcast. But now I can't remember
what the name of it is. I'm so long, can't get under me, I'm so high. I just have the love of my dreams.
Yes. So yes. That one.
Oh, that song is so fucking good.
It's something.
That song right there is better than Clarity. Straight up.
Okay. Just that's stupid. Stupid.
Oh, excited now to talk about Pinkerton. Let's talk about Pinkerton. Let's go to Pinkerton.
Let's talk about what the song was written about, or who it was written about. Those two girls. I can't even remember their names right now.
Sisters, Michael and Carly.
Yes, yes. They were huge Weezer fans. They started the Weezer fan club in the early 90s, and they would go to a lot of their shows. The band knew them. They were friends with the band, amongst other bands, you know, touring through Utah. I think that's where they were from, right? Utah, I think. But they were so they ended up getting in a car accident. Them two, and then also their younger sister, was also in the car. All three of them died.
Dude, just like wiped out the entire fucking family in one swoop. That's
so tragic.
Like, damn, bro, God fucked up. Like, that's brutal.
God, and they were driving home from a Weezer show back home, and they lost control of their vehicle on the interstate, and it tumbled off the road, and they all died, and very, very tragic. And even to this day, Rivers talks about them, which is, that's
because they were so cool, dude. They were so like good to the scene, and Rivers has said repeatedly that there would probably be Weezer probably would not have succeeded had it not been for them, because they allowed that they cooked dinner for Weezer, they let them stay at their place. Same for Jimmy World, same for like Blacklight Pools, all those like Weezer related bands. Like, they allowed these people to stay in their house. Like, they cooked them dinner. They use my kitchen, use my bathroom, do whatever you got to do. It's free. Don't worry about it. And then, like, Weezer wrote that song, Michael and Carly. for them prior to them dying. They wrote that song for them just because they loved them so much. But it was already a Rivers song like years before that. He just repurposed it and wrote different lyrics to it. So that's fucking cheating there.
Well, whatever.
Okay. But then like after they died, the song took a different meaning on, and they even held like an event, and it was like a whole concert series, and mm-hmm. they had all these people come out and play music, and 100% of the proceeds, if anything, went to the Michael and Carly family, and they released an album too. It was like a tribute to Michael and Carly, and there's all these fucking bands on there. Sensfield was on there. Like, and everybody was doing it, and it was just like these mm-hmm. people were just really, really, they're really good peoples.
They're great to the scene, great to the music community. Imagine if they hadn't passed, and like, you know, they probably would have gone on to be like some big A&R, like big in A&R, or who knows, like in some management company. They really could have gone someplace had they not passed away. Especially, honestly, so like, tragic.
Like those early Weezer forums, I mean, they died before I really got into like the internet and stuff like that. Because yeah. That was early. But like when I was probably like, what were we, like 13 when we really hit, like the internet really hit, we were online.
99, 2000, yeah.
Yeah, so 87 plus 2, 99. Yeah, so yeah. Like 12, 13.
Podmouth.
Like those Weezer forums was like the golden era of the internet. Like you were not on the Weezer forum if you were a douchebag. Everybody there was just so fucking nice. It was like, hey, who's going to the show tonight? Oh, you go to the party after the show? Like, it really was like fucking the sweater song in the background. Yeah. Everybody was so goddamn nice. I remember thinking like, damn, I wish I could drive. Like, I wish I had friends that were older so I could go to these shows and meet all these cool people and like hang out and talk to them about just fucking music and life. And like, I remember like seeing all these posts about people just like, you're like, hey, I'm pretty fucked up right now. Like, I'm really sad. And then, and like the whole community got together. Like, don't worry about it. Here, I'll send you this. I'll send you this. What's your address? I'll send you packages. Like, God damn, that was nice.
Yeah, definitely was. It was a different time. Different time on the internet. It was very much.
Kick this.
What?
I just kicked this Mr. Scent marker. You see this thing?
Yeah.
Like, I kicked it. So then I had, this is Mr. Scent. So I had to sniff it. It's fucking, dude, straight cherry. So good. So good.
You're gonna be fucking getting high and shit.
So rest good. The pod. No,
sniffing markers and shit.
Do you ever sniff these? But like you like cover underneath your nostril.
I think when I was a kid, I did that. But I mean, I don't carry around scented markers anymore. I mean, I also don't have kids, so
I'm too good for that.
Well, yeah, of course. So, do we have anything else question, on Here You
Dude,
Meet?
Come on. I mean, that's my 4B, but I have so many fucking notes on this. I could go all day with this song because it's amazing. I mean, the big question was, like at the peak listening, probably with the headphones on, mm-hmm. did you tear up at all listening to the song?
No, I didn't tear up. But
you're a monster. Fuck off. Let's move on.
Okay, I'm a monster.
You are a monster.
I drink monsters for breakfast. It's my
dude. Everyday especially
breakfast.
Like when like after the instrumental break and then it goes into like the soft part. Mm-hmm. And if you were with me tonight, and like the last part of that is just. God wouldn't let it live. And then
it gets super heavy.
Like, God damn. And then when he hits, Lonely Place Rose, he's like, oh, dude. Oh.
This might be the most emo song on the whole record. This is a very, very emo, almost Dashboard-esque song. It really
is. It's definitely like an emo song, but not in like the whiny emo, you know, apathetic, Dear Diary type of sound. Like, it's truly a fucking sad situation that spurred a fucking sad song.
Yes.
Oof. Yes. Dude, this song is incredible. Incredible.
It's great. It's my TV.
And then, I heard Renee was watching one of her shows, one of those fucking Law and Order fucking Miami's something or other. Who cares? It's all fucking same, right? And they played the song in there when somebody like
really?
Died. Yeah.
Wow.
I kind of got mad. I was like, don't you dare. No, don't do that. I don't like that. Don't do it. Nah.
Did Renee like the song?
I'm sure you sang anything about the song. Yeah. I can still play on the guitar too. Like I immediately, cause we have a guitar downstairs. We have a nice guitar downstairs. Oh, you saw the nice one that we got for free at the fucking record show. The Yamaha. I immediately grabbed it. I was like, I'm playing. God wouldn't let it live. Like, it almost sounds spiteful. Mm-hmm. That's like, it's so good when people who are like kind of religious are they get kind of spiteful at their religion and question their religion and question like God and question their existence. And that last, the God wouldn't let it live. It's a little spiteful. And I like
it
that.
It is. Yeah. It is.
Oh, spiteful. Dude, chills.
Chills. You got the goose flesh. As the Britlanders say, you got the goose flesh.
Goose flesh. That makes zero sense. Goose so flesh. Like, what would you tearing pieces of flesh off of a goose? And that's, what does that mean?
No, it's like goosebumps, goose flesh.
I know, but like the goose flesh doesn't make sense. How does it make sense?
Goosebumps make sense. The flesh on a goose, I assume, is bumpy.
It's feathery.
But it's underneath. I don't know. I don't fucking know. I'm not a Britlander.
I guess like if you pluck all the fucking feathers. See, if you pluck the feathers out because like you're like you're plucking your own hairs out, right? It kind of gets like that bump. Mm-hmm. Like then it's bumpy. Goose bumps. Doesn't make sense. Goose flesh. Like
what? It's the same thing. It's the flesh of a goose.
But we don't call it goose flesh. You call it like goose skin. That's skin.
Well, we're not Britlanders either. That's why
they make no sense. Even though
the last time I brought up goose flesh, I said that it was a Britland thing, and Skip got so mad.
Why?
Because they don't call it that. But I've only ever heard it, you know, said by English people because I know many English people.
Those people.
Yeah, cyberbullying, dude. All right, let's move on. What was my 2B? Oh, here you mean. We literally just talked about it. Literally.
That was your 2B?
That was my
2B. Oh, yeah, it was your 2B.
Yeah, because you yelled at me. So what do you got? What else do you want to talk about?
You see me pouring a beer. You know I'm going to get a lime, and you fucking ask me all these questions. You couldn't just like extend your sentence.
Well, let's, 30, oh, fuck
45
let's,
fucking sentence.
Who cares? Let's get into my 3B. Authority song. Authority song is my 3B.
Jesus Christ.
What are you yelling about?
You know I'm finishing up here.
Okay, and I'm trying to move on.
Got hit.
Got hit with a lime.
Forgot to cut my finger.
So Authority song, where does this one sit for you? What do you think about this song?
Can I wipe my fucking fingers off so I can touch my computer? Because I don't... 5B, baby boy.
5B. Now this song is a ton of fun to play on the guitar. I remember you and I used to play this a lot back in high school. It was this and Get It Faster were like our go-tos.
Two drop D songs,
yeah.
Actually, I think they do the middle in drop D too.
Do they? I don't know. I've never learned the middle. I've never learned that song. So, because it's also my 10B. But what?
God wouldn't let it live.
My angels.
You're wild. Dude, and then I think that, that song was in The Butterfly Effect. You ever watched The Butterfly Effect?
I've never seen it, no.
Oh,
wait,
dude,
which
that's
song?
A good song?
Authority song or
Hear You Me. We can go back to that one, too. Yeah. So Ashton Kutcher, you kind of like take him for granted because, you know, the whole That 70s Show thing. And like, he's just kind of a goofy guy in entirely. But The Butterfly Effect, dude, that was a fucking good movie.
Okay, I'll take your word for it. I've heard good things about it.
It was a good movie. In spite of him, like if it was anybody else but him, like it would still be really good. But like you say, but it was a good movie in spite of him or a good movie despite of him. Which one is correct? I don't know.
English. It's hard.
Yeah.
It's a hard language.
I play Authority song.
So yeah, that the main riff is really, really catchy. It's a ton of fun to play. And Zach is doing this really cool kind of swing thing on his drums as well. The first verse hits, you know, it's how the hustle goes. The way he says the words and sings the melody, it's so happy, it's so peppy and fun. And then you get to the chorus and it's a little bit darker, it's a little bit lower register. And it's, I don't know, man, this is just an incredible song. This is very kind of, maybe not Beatles-esque, but
there's definitely some like
is there
weird...
Beatles?
Inspiration here, like I don't know, the way he like enunciates his word, and especially in the verses, like you know exactly what he's saying. Like it's how the hustle goes. See what the jukebox knows. It's very aggressive. It's very like Sunny Day Real Estate. It's very. Let me talk about earlier too. it's very, like we talked about earlier too, like the third wave of emo, right? So like the first wave of emo, or second, well, no, because like the first wave of emo is like hardcore punk essentially, and stemming from that scene, and like the second wave would have been like a Sunny Day Real Estate, the early 90s stuff, and this is like the birth of the Get Up Kids era of the third wave of emo. So there's a little bit of a difference there, but if you don't consider like the original emo, like the hardcore punk, I guess the first wave,
I wouldn't consider the second wave.
But that's like the start of it, right? That's like the start of all the emo stuff. That's whatever. But yeah, this is very like post-hardcore sounding because of the way he sings. It's kind of aggressive. It's kind of out there for such a dainty little song. And even that riff.
Dainty like song.
To drop that D down, to go down there, like why? For what purpose? We don't need to do that, except that you want to hit that because he's hitting that low D and he goes into like the D chord itself, and the D chord is like such a dainty little chord. Like that's just
it really is.
The D is a little bitch chord. It straight up is. It's like it's definitely like one of my
good. What are you talking about? The D chord sounds so good.
Dude, the D chord is a little bitch chord. It's definitely like my least favorite of like the major chords, for sure.
Really?
Absolutely.
I love the D chord.
Nah, it's weak. It's weak.
But it makes the song sound great.
Because I think like the only way that you can make it like cool and fun is if you kind of like contrast it with like a low end, because it's all high. It's all fucking high.
It is, yeah.
And also I think too, because like Free Fallin' starts with that D, ding, 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 ding. And I love Free Fallin', but like, dude, that's such a dainty little song. Like,
it's not a bitch song. It's a bitch song.
D's a little bitch chord. Who cares? What the fuck? I'll say it. I'll say it again.
You've said it like 10 times, but that's fine.
Dude, the best chord, A minor, straight up. There it is.
Okay. All right. Anyway, let's move on. Let's get into the chorus. What do you think of the chorus on this one?
Honesty, oh mystery, tell me I'm not scared anymore. Dude, what is that pacing? What is that pacing though? What are you doing? What is happening here? Like, this is not a sing-along song, but it's incredibly catchy.
Yeah.
Because of like it's so weird and quirky, and then he's like, "I got no cinco purpose," and then that's just come on, bro, that's perfect.
So when I mentioned the Beatles earlier, I think it's closer to the Beach Boys, especially in the chorus at least with the backup harms and the dude smelling that marker again. Oh my god, you're out of control.
I swear right now I forgot we were doing the video podcast. I was staring at my notes so much.
Fucking sniffing the marker like a kid.
Because it's not a cherry smell, it's a fake cherry smell. And yeah, fake cherry smell is so fucking good.
It's something. It's something.
Like cherries are gross, dude. Big old fat cherry with a pit. Like, ugh, I don't put that fucking thing in my mouth, dude. Gross. But like a cherry Jolly Rancher, bro.
Oh yeah, those are good. Those are good.
Forget about it.
But yeah, like I was saying in the chorus, the backup vocals, I don't seem obvious. Do I? The do I do I's? I don't seem obvious. Do I? And then they, it's great harmonizing. It's great backup vocals. I think this song is just absolutely incredible. That's why it's my 3B. It's a fantastic song. I don't know why you hate it so much. But.
Dude, this is a perfect song. I love this song, and I everything about this song is great. The second verse is the best.
Better than the first.
The second DJ verse, never same has as the it. First.
JMC automatic. Do I? It's so good.
Yeah, that was good. Those were Roy's headphones. Jesus. You bet he played What Goes On. What Goes On?
So many references on this song too. You know, Jesus,
dude,
and the Mary
Jane. This whole fucking album, dude.
Yeah. That's true.
But like, what's cool is he references What Goes On, and that song is like drony and fucking dumb. And like the chorus to that, or the melody to that song is kind of like, that's okay. But because like it's the Velvet Underground and they did it, and it's like they did it amazingly. It's kind of like this. It's like, I don't know. There's not a lot here, but they made it so unique. They made it their own.
They did. Oh boy, I don't know. What do you have lyrically on the Authority song? I'm all over the place on this episode. This episode's been
okay. I thought this one was a little bit ambiguous, but I think maybe it's like a post breakup song where you just like fuck it and go out and have fun, like right, like I just broke up with my significant other, but I don't give a shit. I'm going out with the boys tonight, and the DJ doesn't have fucking Jesus Mary Chain, but I don't give a fuck.
That's everything. I feel like this song is about him being like a really shy person and going to a bar and seeing a girl and trying to get her attention, but he doesn't really know how to get her attention. So he's throwing subtle hints at her, but she's not picking up on it. And then he's also not understanding why she's not. And it's just him getting, it's his frustration over the whole situation. That's what I think the song's about. But what do I know? What do I know?
Butts are for pooping.
That's true. They are. So what, let's get into another banger. What else you got?
I mean, they're all bangers. So like we literally can just,
that's why I said, let's get into another banger.
So my 3B is Bleed American, the opener, Bleed Americans.
That's my 6B. Let's get into it.
I thought this would be your 1B.
Why? Because it's heavy?
Yeah, because it's the most new metal sounding punk song on the record. Yes.
It's a great opener, though. It's the heaviest song on the record. Arguably, probably one of the heaviest songs they've ever done.
Yeah. Maybe it's like in Pain. Maybe like something on Futures. Pretty yeah. Aggro.
Yeah. Nothing Wrong is a very heavy song. That's a very, very heavy song off of Futures. But this one is, it's fast too. It's not just that it's heavy. It's a fast song. At least for Jimmy.
This song, this song rips, man. Like right off the bat, dude. Like we're coming off Clarity here. And right off the bat, we go, right? We're just dropping. We're just doing all these weird things. We got dueling guitars. One's going high. One's going low.
God, they're so good at that.
It's just fucking madness. And then Jim sounds like he's in a total panic. He just sounds like he's no fucking idea what he's doing.
Yeah.
And dude, Rick the bass player. Rick. He's got some Rick. That's a cool fucking name for a bass player, dude. Rick.
God, so annoying.
Rick the bass player. He's got some cool solid bass lines. He goes barrel. He does ups and downs.
He does.
But everything like just kind of like builds up and releases in the bridge with that double time, dude. That's what the song is about. Oh, it's that bridge. And then when Jim comes in with that grief from my heart. Oh man, that part gets me. Give it a rest now. Give it a rest now. Now. And everyone's just like cats, dude, just like fighting each other. And the solo, the solo is exactly what this song calls for. Mm-hmm. There's, you cannot fit one more note or take one note out of that solo to make it better, and it would only make it worse. That is a perfect, perfect solo.
Yeah, it really absolute is a perfect bonkers. Solo. It really is. It really is.
Man, the song's good.
And so like right off the bat too, also, so when the first verse hits, it's a very punky thing too. You know, I'm not alone because TV's on. Yeah. You know, it's just, it's kind of like the staccato delivery vocally, but it's, you know, the palm mutes with the downstrokes and everything. And then it almost immediately drops into that chorus, the salt, sweat, sugar on the asphalt. And then the aha, or our hearts.
But it's uh-huh.
Yeah, I know. It sounds like uh-huh.
There
yeah.
in the tops of today. I didn't know any of these lyrics until this week.
I know. I didn't either.
I had no fucking idea
he said, tune in to all the fast cars, but he says, tune in and we can get the last call. So, not really that close at all. But no, that chorus is also incredibly catchy. Even if you don't know the words, it's just fun to yell just to yell it. Cause yeah, we have no idea what the hell he says. It's great.
A lot of these fucking things, I had no idea what he says. Cause he just kind of yells and makes noises, and it makes sense because like Sweetness, like he had a melody there, and he just did like the whiny stuff because he knew that he didn't have lyrics then, so he just put in like placeholders, and so like it's not unreasonable to think that a lot of these lyrics, quote unquote lyrics, were just placeholders, and like I do think he's just like I don't think he's saying anything there. That's bro, like nah, dude, nah. The lyrics were put in after the fact. Yeah, you can't retcon your own fucking songs. Not gonna happen. Not fooling me.
Can't get fooled twice, right?
Can't get fooled twice. Fool me again. Can't fool me again. Can't get fooled twice.
Can't get fooled.
that's our boy, dude. That's our leader right there.
I did watch it like a couple weeks ago on TikTok. There was a compilation of George Bush's like the dumbest things he said. And it was like 6 minutes of him just fucking up, just saying the dumbest shit. Like, we're gonna eat our families or something like that.
Gotta eat the families, dude.
Yeah, he was saying, oh, he said so much dumb shit. Now watch this drive. That was the best one.
The strategery. Dude, watch this drive is so good.
Oh, that is the best. Now watch this drive.
You cocky fuck. That's so nasty. Just giving it to the Americans. Just
yeah. God, what an asshole. Drive. What a fucking asshole.
Good times.
When he got the shoe thrown at him, and that dodge, like
the first one was solid. The first one was a good dodge.
It was great. Yeah. Man, that was so fun. That video was great too. Anyway.
And they threw a second shoe. Like, nobody was on top of him to not let him throw the second fucking shoe. Like, you kidding? There was a good, like, 4 or 5 seconds before he threw the second shoe.
Was it, you think it was staged? Like, you think that was staged? For Secret Service not to jump on that immediately?
Like, dude, we're at like, the height of people wanting to, like, kill G-dubs, right? And now we're at a press conference where there's a lot of people outside who want to kill G-dubs. And this dude like throws a shoe, and you see the guys in the back, and I'm like, did that motherfucker throw a shoe? I'm like, nah. Oh, she threw a second one. Okay, now let's get him. Come on, bro. Like, what do you get paid for?
I know.
I mean, for one, like, I wouldn't take a bullet for the fucking. I'm pretty much like, damn, there's very few people I'd take a bullet for. To give me enough money, I don't think I would do it. But it's kind of interesting. The Secret Service investigates like counterfeit money and then also takes bullets for the president.
Wait, what?
That's what the Secret Service does. They investigate like counterfeit money, and then they also take bullets for the president. Yeah,
I didn't know that, the counterfeit money thing.
So like when you sign to be the Secret Service, they ask you, so like, what do you want to do? Do you want to like investigate like counterfeit ones, or do you want to take bullets? Like, who would say, oh, I'll take the bullet, please? No. Even like, oh, dude, this is just a whole nother level too. Even if that situation does arise, like, nah, I'm good.
I'm out.
So, somebody pulls a gun, like, I quit. Like, would you go to jail for not taking a bullet for the president? No way. Yeah, it had no to have fucking way.
You'd probably get tried for treason or some shit like that.
What if you like audibly quit? I quit.
That's some like George Costanza shit right there.
I quit.
Oh man. All right, so Bleed American, let's move on from this one since we can't stay focused, but that's fine. Oh, yeah. Actually lyrically, oh, so some of the background, speaking of George W. Bush, this song came out right before 9/11 or right before 9/11, and you know, it's called Bleed American. This was one of the albums that was on that massive list of
the Clear Channel
list of albums or songs that aren't allowed to be played or whatever. So for a very brief time, the band changed the title of the record to Jimmy World. And this song specifically was changed to Salt, Sweat, Sugar. Just so they could avoid the controversy with Clear Channel and all that bullshit, which is now iHeartMedia. But, that was kind of like a pretty seamless transition actually. Into George Bush, into this whole
that was solid. American that was thing. Good. That was good.
But I thought that was stupid and silly. But you know, it was a crazy time in the country in 2001.
It was pretty wild. We were pretty young then, like
we're freshmen. Freshmen.
We were like, dude, like freshmen are idiots, bro. Like straight idiots. But like,
yeah, we were dumb.
I don't know. That was a wild time.
Yeah, I mean, this was like the first week of high school for us.
Yeah.
Wait, no, was it?
It was. No, yeah, it was.
Yeah,
was,
no, it was.
It was up there. It was up there.
It was like the first or second week of high school. Yeah. Damn, yeah. That's crazy. So it you and I had probably met that week. The week that 9/11 happened, you and I probably met. Because we met freshman year in theater and drama. That's crazy.
It was wild, dude. That was a wild time, dude.
Yep.
That was wild.
That's true. So lyrically, what do you have on this song?
It's like feeling some sort of like emptiness, right? I think it sort of dances around the idea of being alone while also complaining about like our working class system. how much blood, sweat, and tears are put into our working class system, only to leave us broken and tired and bitter. He says, like, our hearts littering the topsoil kind of makes you think of farmers and blue-collar workers who kill themselves for, you know, 60, 70-hour work weeks and low pay. They live shorter lives. Like, they objectively live shorter lives than normal people, laborers. And that's always fun, I guess. I don't know.
That's not fun, but I get where you're, where you're going with that.
Because you can make a lot of fucking money if you work for like the, like if you join like a union like in LA or like some of those Orange County unions, like you make a lot of money, bro. You're making like triple pays on the weekends, like quadruple pays on holidays.
True.
But like it's hard fucking work.
Yeah, that's
true. I don't want to work that hard.
No, I get it. I totally get it.
Yeah. It's too hard.
Way too hard. I think it's about I agree with you. That it's about, you know, middle class, the middle class person and working too much and then just having to kind of like numb themselves after they get off work and in their free time just to kind of take the edge off. So, you know, taking pills, you know, drinking a lot and just mindlessly watching TV and things like that. That's what it is. So
like the opening line of this whole record just kind of makes you think that it could have been like a cool, like, concept record, like I'm not alone because the TV's on. That's a cool line.
That is
that's
really a cool
line that could have like springboard into this weird kind of like crazy like anti-capitalist, anti-consumer, just something really cool. They never really did that. They didn't really did anything like that, but it was still there's still a really, really cool opener.
It is a great opener. I agree. All right, let's move on to what else? What other songs do we have here? What haven't we gotten into? Fuck, let's get into Sweetness.
So yeah, that's the only song that we have to hit.
Yeah, so this is my 4B. This is my 4B. Where does it sit for you?
What's my 9B?
This is one of the most fun, outside of Get It Faster, this song I like singing more than any other song. That chorus,
that's crazy.
The woes in the chorus, it's so much fun. It's so obnoxious. So obnoxious.
Dude, the only thing that saves this song from being the 11B is some of the nuance here. Because like I never liked this song. I think the song is too perfect and it's like it's too produced and it's produced to be like even more perfect. And honestly, like if Jerry Finn got his fucking fingers in this record, we hear a lot more of that piano, that ding 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 ding.
I
ding,
love it.
Which is like littered throughout this whole fucking album. It's irritating and we just don't need it. But God, man, if Jerry Finn like got into this one, all we hear is ding 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 all over this record. This is just really, Mike? Come on, like tell me I'm wrong. That's what fucking Jerry Finn would have done.
No,
he would have tripled down on that shit. Let's. We need more organ. We need more synth. More ding 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 ding.
Okay, so ding, ding, when ding, it comes like to that. Blink, the only organ was on Windy Clear, and the only real piano you hear on the two records are on Adam's song, and I think on Stay Together for the Kids. That's stupid and that's annoying. Also. The
verse you play the piano
like chopsticks like on Aristocats when the Siamese cat has yes, the chopsticks
exactly yeah. like that
what was I saying shit oh so the so pops. The version of Sweetness on this record that yeah there is that piano part that's pretty actually high in the mix but if you listen to the original so demo version from the Clarity sessions that piano doesn't exist
correct
so that was it's missing from it and both the demo and this the version on the record, they're both really good. They're both great in their own ways. I love both of them.
There's even a more rough demo version where it's a little bit more like, I don't want to say, it's a little more stripped down. It's a little more Jim just kind of wailing and everyone else is kind of like plugging in and playing. There's not a lot of nuance to it. But again, the reason
what is that from?
Like the demo?
Yeah, I've never heard that other demo. I don't think I have.
Got to look it up, baby boy. You got to do your due diligence.
Due diligence.
Every time I say due diligence, I'm saying diligence. I'm saying diligence. I'm saying it right now. I can't say due diligence. Say due diligence fast. Say it right now.
Due diligence. I say that at least probably 10 times a day.
Why?
At work. It's something I have to say at work all the time to people.
That's annoying.
Yeah. You got to do your due diligence. That's what you got to do.
And you never say diligence?
I've never said diligence. Never okay. said it. I've never said it.
I hope you start saying diligence.
Oh, that'd be so annoying if I did that. If I started doing that by accident.
I don't know. Due diligence. Due diligence.
You have to do your due diligence.
That's annoying.
Got to do your due diligence.
That's actually an annoying phrase when you use it like a lot.
Yeah, and I do use it a lot. It's like I said, at least 10 times a day I use that.
That's a lot. Yeah. Wow. It's 50 times a week.
Wow.
I say it like once every month maybe. But anyway. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I like this bridge. Everything picks up nicely. They get into that really cool groove, right? Go along with that drum beat. But again, like that piano
Once
tap.
Again.
Ugh. Ugh.
Ugh. Also, Zach's drumming on this, his drum parts are so good. It's the kind of it's kind of a shuffle thing that he does, but his hi-hat to snare play is fucking amazing. It's phenomenal. Zach Lind is a truly underrated drummer. He has some incredible parts on this record and on Clarity. I love how stripped down he can be and also how kind of busy he can be, but in a very subtle way. I think he's a fantastic drummer. You're crazy. Exactly. You're silly.
I've heard better.
That's well, of course.
The beat he plays on Sweetness, like I can play this beat, bro. If I can play this beat, you're not.
You cannot
play
this.
Play this.
No, you can't. No, you cannot
I can play this beat.
No, you can't play it.
I promise you I can.
I promise you can't. I'll test you on this next time I'm out there.
Test me. Test me. Test me. Test me.
Yeah, I'll test you. I'll test you. Anyway, so Sweetness, great song, 4B for me. Lyrically, I don't know. I think it's about getting out of a bad relationship and how, you know, there's the sweetness to it, but then you're also kind of sad about it. You kind of don't know how to feel post breakup, even if you initiate that breakup. So that's what I got on
that. I don't think it's about anything. Because Jim said that he had the melody first and he used the woes as placeholders until lyrics could be written. Lyrics were never written. I don't think this means anything. I think this is just a melody, and I had to put words to it. That is it. Very, very loose.
Okay.
That's it.
All right.
Said it. I don't care. Say it again.
All right. So there's four songs we haven't talked about here. We got If You
Let's
Don't,
Do them
Don't.
Quick. Let's do them real quick.
Yeah, If You Don't, Don't. That's my 5B.
If You Don't, Don't. Do that swell into the If You Don't, Don't. That's like, I love that swell.
Oh, it's fun. And just that whole chorus, it's just an incredibly catchy chorus.
This one's annoying too because
say so.
Even though we do get that staccato like piano later on, I like that instead of always doing it, we have the clean guitar hitting those like higher chords as if he was like the staccato piano. But now we get a little phaser, we get a little effect on it, and it jams and it makes sense and I like it. But then like it ruins it and just goes to the piano. Like that's just such a default like cheesy fucking thing to do. It irritates me. Mm. Whatever.
Yeah. Okay, I think you're just nitpicking here at this point with this song. But also I like in the verses how he's when he's asking the questions, he's not really he's singing it, but it's very kind of subdued. It's like, "What's wrong, baby? That's it. That's a good word. Good way to describe it. And then it drops into the chorus and God, it's so fucking catchy. A truly forgotten banger on this record.
Just say so.
It's always forgotten about until it comes up, and it just blows me away every time. It's so fucking melodic and so catchy. Love this one. So, what's another one we haven't gotten to? We've Cautioners.
There's Cautioners, My Sundown, and then
and Your House.
Your House. We can breeze through Cautioners and My Sundown, and then end it on My House or Your House.
Your House.
Whoever's house doesn't really
These are very Clarity songs. All three of them are very, very Clarity. But so, yeah, so Cautioners, what do you got?
I mean,
what do you want
Cautioners
to do?
Cautioners is fine. Yeah. Cautioners is good. It's kind of like a shorter song because there's not a lot going on. Like you said, it's a Clarity song. That really is what it is, a Clarity song.
Yeah.
And like that bridge again, like these guys fucking slay in their bridges. They really know what they're doing. They take the time with it. They probably write bridges as they do like the rest of the song. They probably take as much time as possible on those bridges because they're amazing. And the whole like, I don't know, the whole like Monday concept, you'll change your mind come Monday, turn your back on me. It's just, it's so cool. It's so adolescent, right? Like let's have so much fun over the weekend and come Monday, I'll be yesterday's news. Like, that's so, dude, that's so emo.
It is. It's extremely emo. That's the best way to put
so
it.
It's so good. It's so good. I love it. And my Sundown, too. My Sundown, same kind of concept, same kind of like sad sack story, right? The song's about like living your dream and being so happy, but realizing nobody gives a fuck about you, but done in a very like Goodbye Sky Harbor type of way. Let's drone it out as long as possible. Even though this is not nearly as long as Sky Harbor, it still has that
effect. It's a great closer.
Has that feel. Dude, yeah. Perfect closer.
Great closer, only closer especially you after have Authority song. Because Authority song is on such a high note. Probably one of the highest notes on the whole record. Yeah,
you got to bring it down.
Got to bring it down. And My Sundown is an absolute banger of a closer. No complaints. But
and then Your House. 11B.
Yeah.
Dude, what, you don't when like
you're
Your House?
I swear you're on. Rip my heart right out. Rip my heart right out. I like how he goes lower when he says that you rip my heart right out too. Oh, it's so good.
I think the whole room came. Hear me clear my throat.
Rip so my heart good. Right out.
Like, why does he sing like that? He sings in so many different ways.
It's very Tom DeLonge. Very, very Tom DeLonge. Or what Tom probably copied. Tom probably copied Jim. Because he does do this a lot. He sings this way a lot. And then that chorus it drops with those single notes and everything. If you still care at all, don't go.
Tell me now. And later on, that's so good.
Yeah. Oh man, dude.
Jim wails, man. Jim knows how to wail.
He really, really does.
He's a whaler.
So like Clarity is so great in its textures and. You know, all the experimentation on it, but this record, Bleed American, is Jim's vocals and his deliveries. Smelling that marker again.
God, dude, I can't. You're doing it again. It smells so good.
But Jim's vocals on this record is what he fucking nails it. They're so good. The harmonizing, just everything about it is incredible.
Is your wrap up? Sound like wrap up.
Yeah, I guess that is my wrap up. I mean, Jim is the highlight of this whole record. I think what he was doing vocally was just absolutely amazing on this whole record. He's my MVP. He's my MVP of this record.
Of course. Who the fuck else would it be?
Yeah, that's true too. That's very, very true. But I do love this record a lot. Usually I don't do my wrap up first, but that's fine. I guess I'll do it.
It seemed like you were already doing
yeah,
it.
So yeah, yeah.
It was
true.
Just kind of like it was a natural progression into it.
So Bleed American, I just this is so ingrained in like early high school for us, and the nostalgia is so strong, but the songs are still standalone. Every song is different from the other. It's a truly remarkable and unique record. There's nothing that sounds like this. Clarity doesn't sound like this. Nothing Jimmy World ever did after this sounds like it. And with that said, this is a perfect album. I don't do it often. I do not do it often, but it's a perfect album. So it's a 3 out of 3. So the 3-point rating system
is
perfect. 3-point rating system is 3 is a perfect album. 2 is a good album you're going to continue to listen to. 1 is a bad album to give it a shot. And 0 is the worst thing you've ever heard. So yes, perfect 3 out of 3 album for me. Bleed American. What do you got? Go.
Yeah, I agree with all the things that you said. Everything,
oh, man.
It's truly remarkable, and they kind of took the opposite of like the Weezer approach, right? Yeah. Weezer wrote something that was incredibly poppy, incredibly radio friendly, and then decided to do something the opposite and texture and layered it and be something crazy emotional. And Jimmy World like did the opposite. They did their Pinkerton first and their Blue second, and it's pretty wild, man, because there are some stupid catchy songs on Clarity that are just like insane. Mm-hmm. And like even the least catchy song on Bleed American is still really fucking catchy. Like, God damn. Every melody, every chorus, every bridge, every verse has its own like identity, it could be its own song. You could probably like triple this album and just take all the little melodies from each song and make it 3 different records, 33 songs. That all have an individual melody that are pretty goddamn catchy.
Yeah, I would agree.
I don't understand like how a band can fucking do this. I don't get it. It makes no sense to me. Bizarre.
Well, also, you know, kind of going back a little bit too. So after all this shit that happened with Capitol and then, you know, Clarity and almost getting dropped from the label, they didn't have a lot of money to make this record, and they didn't have enough money to pay Mark Trombino to produce the record.
What a guy.
So,
what
but
an
he,
ace.
But
what
he,
a star.
But he was so confident in how good the songs were that he said, don't worry about it. I'll work for free. And then, you know, as the proceeds come in, you can pay me back. I know these songs are going to blow up. And sure as shit, they did. And this is their most successful record to date. So he called it, and he was absolutely right. So
that's a call it right there. Yeah. Like you can call it sometimes, but like that, you call your shot, like when you play horse and shit, dude, that's a call it right there. That's a call it.
Yeah. It's incredible. It's incredible. Yeah.
This record's not just like a perfect three. It's something bigger. It took like the world by storm. It sold so many fucking copies, mm-hmm. and it almost didn't happen because you guys had no fucking money.
Nothing. Yeah. Like they were working odd jobs. I think, what was it? Jim was working, it was something like art
a car
supplies.
Dealership or something.
Yeah. Zach was was working at a car dealership. Other guy was like, I don't even know what he was. I have no idea.
They were borrowing money. Like Trombino worked for free. They had no fucking money. And some of these songs were written when they didn't even have a record deal. And again, K-Rock played some of these songs. I can't remember what song it was they played. I think it might have been.
No, they were playing Lucky Denver Mint.
No, it was on this one. They wrote some of these songs before they were signed to DreamWorks.
Was it Sweetness then? Maybe? I don't remember that.
Maybe it would have been Sweetness. Yeah. I don't know. They like K-Rock played some song from Bleed American before they were signed, and it got traction, and that's what started like the bidding war between all the record labels, and DreamWorks eventually won out because they let them do whatever the fuck they wanted to do. That's what they wanted to do. So, hey, say what I want to say.
Yep. So we give this both a perfect 3 out of 3. Do you have anything else to say about this one?
No, that's it. I also like the cover art too. Very like simple.
I like
Americana, you know, like for me, it kind of gives you that 50s feel, like that Stand By Me esque type of thing.
Yeah.
Be true to your school, as the Beach Boys say. And it's called Bleed American. And he's like, oh, I'm fucking American through and through. Then you get in this wild ride of emotion.
I mean, the cover is just, you know, a bunch of trophies up on top of a cabinet. Very simplistic, very, I don't know. Yeah, just very, very Americana. So the guy who took the picture, his name is William Eagleston. And the photograph is the photograph is called Memphis. Yeah. But yeah, that's what they decided to use for the album cover. And it's cool. It's good. Clarity is a cooler cover, but that's fine. That's fine.
They don't have great covers. Yet.
Surviving is kind of a cool cover though. Very simplistic. It is.
I think like maybe Damage was probably like
that
my
was
favorite
a cool one
cover.
Too. Yeah, theirs. Damage was cool too. Or Damage.
Just weird. Yeah. Damages.
Exactly. All right. Well, that's it. That's all we got for this one. Sorry for the interruptions. Whatever. It happens. Shit happens. So yeah, thank you all for listening. Go to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, give us 5 stars, YouTube, subscribe, smash that subscribe button. Is that what you say?
Smash that subscribe button, baby.
Smash that subscribe button.
Mr. Sketch, baby.
Mr. Sketch, Jeff's getting high on markers. So, that's it.
I'm actually not getting high on markers. I'm just smelling them because they smell good.
That's fine. So that's it. That's all.
Mr. Sketch.